Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
This is still our country. If what Glenn Beck on his show Fox TV today said, played a clip from the mic was open on the U.S. Senate floor, these guys still have not learned to beware of microphones. You never know what is turned on or whether it's turned off. Anyway, a U.S. senator was caught on an open mic saying that on one of the bills, I think it's the food safety bill or takeover of agriculture, excuse me, that the system is rigged. And, of course, we know lobbyists are in there rigging things or have rigged things. The Schwartz-Soros crowd, these phony American Progress crowds who are trying to co-opt our freedoms. But anyway, it's still our country. Let's try to keep it that way. And the only way that we can maintain it as our country, and that's not only for the people who are born here, but the people who have come here to contribute, not co-opt and corrupt. We still have a lot of that here in this country, and these people ought to be deported. So let's support one another on these issues. Stay alert. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and cost you, and will. Targeted this show for 45 minutes. I have a family emergency, so we're only going to do a half an hour today, and we'll just stick to that format from now on because we still have some family problems that end up turning to emergencies. So we'll start with events today. Let's see, what do we have here? Okay, where am I going to put it? Sorry about that. This is important. Portugal is in more and more in the news because it's going to have to be bailed out. A lot of people don't know that they share the Iberian Peninsula. That country shares the Iberian Peninsula with Spain. And for a long time, Portugal was under the thumb of the Spanish. And then in 1640, they regained their independence. And for those of you who don't study languages, Portuguese is one of the hardest languages to learn. It's spoken in Brazil and in Portugal in the former Portuguese colonies, which Portugal was the last country in Europe to free its colonies or for its colonies to fight for and gain independence. And during the time of the Inquisition, the Portuguese was among, if not the worst, examples of the Inquisition. And then in 1641, this is interesting, back to Massachusetts, they were the first colony to grant statutory recognition to slavery. Very weird for Massachusetts. And then we have, again, some more racism in Russia. And the successor to Peter the Great, 1742, Empress Elizabeth, his lover, she expelled the Jews from Russia. Of course, they came back, or there were more of them. And then, again, we have Napoleon. And a lot of this, still, this history that I talk about that happened in the past is still relevant today. The what I call the threads are always there, and they're woven, and they're woven and interwoven into events today. We have Napoleon marries Josephine, and I mentioned on the last show that I see the movie Desiree with Marlon Brando, who played Napoleon, Audrey Hepburn, who played Desiree, and Michael Rennie, who played Marshal Bernadotte, who later renounced Catholicism and became the adopted son of the King of Sweden, who had no heirs, and became a Lutheran, and fought against Napoleon. And his ancestors, the Bernadottes, are still very prominent in Sweden today. And one of them, Folke Bernadotte, tried to broker peace between the Arabs and the Jews in 1948, and he was assassinated. And then this is important because people are still questioning whether or not Barack Obama is legally the president of the United States. I understand Nancy Pelosi may have altered the certification documents at the Democratic National Convention in Denver 2 years ago. But in 1824, we haven't had a situation like this before. There was a disputed election, and five candidates, and in these disputed presidential elections, are thrown into the House of Representatives. That's one of the uniquenesses about the Congress, that money bills have to start there, and settling the presidency. And this is an example. There was a deadlock, and there were five candidates: John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson, William Crawford, Henry Clay. And Adams was John Quincy Adams, the son of John Adams, the second president. He was declared the winner. And Andrew Jackson was furious, and he ran against John Quincy Adams and won in the next presidential election and became president. And John Quincy Adams is the one of two presidents who went, after they finished the presidency, ran again for office in Congress. John Quincy Adams became a U.S. representative. Andrew Johnson became a U.S. senator, the first U.S. senator elected to the from the South after the Civil War. And then one of my favorite characters, getting back to the Portuguese in Brazil, the last emperor of Brazil, Dom Pedro, was crowned in 1822. Brazil was the last country in the world, in this part of the world, to abolish slavery. Took them a long time to get around to that. And then we had the first chartered life insurance company. Goes back to 1842. They were founded today. And then back to oil, we have John D. Rockefeller, who started an oil war. And then the first White House telephone was set up on this day, December 1st. The first gasoline station was set up, our drive-up gasoline station was set up in Pennsylvania. Remember, Pennsylvania was where the oil wells were discovered and were pumping crude back in the 18th century. And then here's one of my favorites. In 1917, Father Flanagan started Boys Town and in Omaha, Nebraska. I don't know why he chose Omaha. And then, of course, there's that famous movie with Spencer Tracy, who was Roman Catholic, and Mickey Rooney, and the famous line was, "He ain't heavy, Father, he's my brother." Great film. And then we have one of my favorite women politicians and stateswomen. In 1919, Lady Astor, I think she married an American, she wasn't American, let me check on that. She became the first female member of Parliament, and she used to verbally spar with Winston Churchill. And one day, she said something to him, and he said, "If you offer me tea with poison in it, I will drink it." Something like that. I'll get it correct. Shame on me. And then we had, this is interesting, there's a controversy about this. Rosa Parks was arrested in 1955 on that Birmingham bus, but we understand that this was a setup by one civil rights group, and that there was actually another woman who ended up in New York, and she never got the credit for being the first black to try to integrate the buses and to sit where, you know, where she paid to, wanted to sit after she legitimately paid to get on that bus. And then I remember this in 1958. I was still in grammar school. What was I? Starting high school. Excuse me. One of the worst school fires in the country, and the result of this was one of the tightest fire regulations for schools. This happened in Chicago, Our Lady of the Angels School, where 92 students were burned to death, and three Roman Catholic nuns. And the father, the pastor of Our Lady of the Angels, is on the southwest side of Chicago, near the train yards. And big old Italian section, and was next to a section of town called Jewtown, where people went on Saturdays and Sundays to buy leftovers and kind of an open street fair type of thing. Anyway, the father he lost his mind. It was a horrible death, and they really tightened the fire regulations for safety in Chicago schools. One of the good things that Mayor Daley did. And then this is very important. In 1969, the first draft lottery was resumed since World War II. Now, a lot of people don't realize it or are not aware or may have forgotten that when a male becomes 18 years old, whether he is a U.S. citizen or not, they have to register for Selective Service. Selective Service is still on the books. If they do not register by the end of 30 days, they are not eligible to federal loans, any type of federal grants or federal loans. And there are several, and they cannot hold any offices, public office. So we'll get into this more and more, because there are guys who ignored this and who were put on notice that they had ignored the Selective Service Act, the mandatory obligation to register, even though we don't have an active draft, and maybe they can be sued and have to return all of those salaries that they illegally got while they were occupying public office. We have a couple of people here in Northern California that I know about. And then Benadire Bhutto, who was the daughter of the first prime minister of Pakistan, a recent prime minister of Pakistan, and when they had the Bangladesh break-off, Bhutto, who was considered a dictator, his daughter Benazir, who was a liberated Muslim woman, she became the first female prime minister in the Muslim world, and she was assassinated a couple of years ago. Let's see, and then we had the French government was also, and the New Zealanders and people in the South Pacific were very upset about French nuclear tests in the South Pacific. And then this is interesting. Going back, today is in 1764, the French government abolished the Jesuit order. Now, the Jesuits are known as the head of the Jesuit order. They're very political, unfortunately, this order of priests. They're no nuns. He's known as the Black Pope. He's the second most powerful clergyman in the Roman Catholic Church. And they like Georgetown University and Law School in Washington, they run that. They're involved in any university that's called Loyola of Chicago, USF, University of San Francisco here in San Francisco, Loyola down in New Orleans, and they're very active. I don't know what it is about them. But anyway, they got every place they've been, and they get so political, they get kicked out or banned. And they were at one point suppressed by Pope Clement the 14th. And then they got their charter back, resumed as a Roman Catholic order by Pius the 7th in 1814. But we used to get them for spiritual retreats, and we couldn't wait to get rid of them. 3 days was more than enough to dealing with the Jesuits. And of the birthdays today, excuse me, we have, here we go. I'm a little slow today, so forgive me. Quite an interesting list. Where did I put it? James Baldwin of another country. He was a black and a gay writer, a very fine writer. We also have... that's a death, excuse me. He died today. And Stephan Grappelli, who was a great French jazz violinist, there's some controversy about him in a new book that's come out about the artist, like Maurice Chevalier, who remained in France during the German occupation after the French government surrendered and the French armies were defeated, with the exception of Charles de Gaulle, who fled to Europe, to England, and said he was going to fight back. Grappelli and these artists entertained the Nazis, and they paid at least lip service to the Vichy government. So this is one of the French scandals, and the French even today have not completely purged that from their history, and they still have this anti-Semitism there, even though Sarkozy's grandfather was the rabbi and came from Hungary, and he became a Catholic, and also the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris was once a Jew. But they had this horrible history, and the French police, when they were told to round up Jewish kids above a certain age, the French police decided to ingratiate themselves further and round up every Jewish child that they could get their dirty hands on. Among the birthdays today, we have three Confederate generals in one day. This is interesting. William Moore, Archibald Great, and Michael Jenkins. We have the great writer who played Nero Wolfe, Rex Stout, born today. Founder of the John Birch Society, Robert Welch, also Welch's grapefruit juice, and he got slammed and his reputation blackened by the radical left. And then this is important. Every time we're going to continue to hear about the Twin Towers. The architect Minoru Yamasaki was born today, and he's the guy that designed the Twin Towers in New York. And we have Mary Martin, who became famous. She came from Texas, and we got a clip that made her famous. This comes out of the archives of Western Public Radio, where I worked, and we'll play that in a minute. It's entertaining and it's history making. Her son is J.R., the famous, I think it was Dallas, that series on TV. And then Woody Allen, who changed his name from Allen Konigsberg. He was born today. Lou Rawls, who had this smoky Chicago voice, great jazz player. Richard Pryor, another famous black who used the freebase with cocaine and he burned his face very badly. And then the divine Miss M, Beth Midler, was born today. And then he's one of the dirtiest and deadliest drug dealers in U.S. and Colombian and world history, Pablo Escobar Gavalia. Of course, we finally disposed of him. Among the deaths today, we had Edmund Campion, a Catholic saint, a priest, who this is the problem when religion gets mixed up with politics. It's one of the things that I've always said, the three things that are the most volatile in human history. Religion connected to politics, race connected to religion and politics, sexual preference connected to religion and politics. So he was at the time of the Elizabethan age, and he was a martyr. He was tortured. And then I'll have to get more into this. I forgot. In 1842, the first U.S. naval officer was hanged for a mutiny, Philip Spencer. And then we had the guy who was a collaborator with Joseph Stalin. Joseph Stalin managed to eliminate any and all of his the so-called people who were conspiring, who worked with him to bring him to power after Lenin died. And he saw these collaborators as potential threats, and they mysteriously died or were sent to gulags or tortured and murdered by the KGB. This guy named Kirov, Sergei Kirov, and I don't know if that's the name of the famous Russian ballet. And so he died mysteriously. And let's see, we got pretty much all of that. And so, excuse me, I wanted to, one of the things, we can't get too much into it, we're hearing more and more about it, and it's because of this report about coming from the Pentagon about acceptable among some segments of the military and, of course, a lot of the lavender left media. To allow open gay lesbian NAMLAs in the U.S. military. Well, we're going to come up and display what we found in the Steve Nery case. The young military recruits have long time been targeted by homosexual video voyeurs. There's all kinds of these websites on the web and on DVDs on how to seduce young military recruits, angryyoungmen.com, all kinds of things. They especially target the Marines. I don't know why. But the latest gay outrage has been at the Smithsonian, which is publicly funded like NPR and PBS. And Robert Mapplethorpe's stuff has been there, where they put a photo of a cross in a bowl of urine or a cup of urine, just outrageous. Imagine if we did that to a Torah or one of the Islamic faiths, something, the Quran. If the Quran was put in a toilet bowl or something, something like that, or in the gutter, that would be outrageous, and they should be. But for some reason, they pick on Christ, and the gays just won't, the radical gays, because there are some decent people who have not politicized their sexual preference, and they are respected members of the community. They contribute to the community. They don't prey on young boys and or the lesbians on young girls, and some of them are politically active. May not agree with their politics, but they're not dirty people like these people are who create this pornography that they try to pass off as art. Another thing, in the San Francisco Weekly today, and we'll get into this Friday and next week, the Castro District, which used to be predominantly Irish, I hate to use the phrase working class, predominantly Catholic in San Francisco, has now become the nudist colony or district of the city. And people, even gays, and I hate to define people by their sexuality, but people who are gay are opposed to this walking around bare butt. And most of these people that do it, in my sarcastic estimation, should be arrested for unaesthetic exposure. And so we got into that, and unfortunately I couldn't find the clip of the first phonograph recording. I have it, but it's mislabeled. So for change of pace and to recognize the great Mary Martin, who was in this film Night and Day, we had the soundtrack in the archives. The Western Public Radio used it. So here is how she made her debut.
What was your name?
Mary Martin.
Gracie tells me you're a singer.
She does.
Yeah. Well, you are.
Oh, yes, I am.
Well, tell me, what's your background, Miss Martin?
I come from Weatherford, Texas.
No, I mean your musical background.
I sang the lead in all the high school plays in Weatherford, and I sang in the lobby of the hotel in Mineral Wells.
Oh, that's very impressive. About to sing something now?
Oh, I'd love to. Ah, la, 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 la.
You have a fine voice, Miss Martin, but not exactly what I need for this number.
Oh.
Sort of a just not your type. Well, now, why don't you go over this with me? Maybe that Mineral Wells training might pay off after all.
Such a sweet millionaire. While tearing off a game of golf, I may make a play, but when I do, I don't follow through, 'cause my heart belongs to Daddy. If I invite a boy some night to dine on my fine linen hattie, I just adore his asking for more, but my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs, it simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Daddy. da 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 da. My heart belongs to Daddy. But my heart belongs to Daddy. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. So I simply couldn't be bad. Yes, my heart belongs to Daddy. Da 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 da. So I want to warn you, laddie. So I think you're perfectly well. That my heart belongs to Daddy, and my daddy treats it so well.
Mary Martin, that was her debut. It was a great show when there were really great shows on Broadway. We've seen a lot of tacky stuff in the last decade. Very few good shows. Stephen Sondheim is still one of the great composers of shows. But she's probably, Mary Martin's probably better, more remembered for the 1950s show she did with Enzio Pinza called South Pacific, when she sang a similar musically risque song, I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair. In the movie, they used a guy who couldn't sing, another Italian, and they used, I think, it wasn't Gwen Verdon, but this is what usually happens. A woman will make, a star will make it great, a singer will make it great on Broadway, but if she doesn't have the, what they consider movie box office draw, they'll find somebody like, I think, Audrey Hepburn was in My Fair Lady, whereas Julie Andrews, the great popular show singer from England, she did it. She debuted on with that show on Broadway back in 1956, I think it was, and she also did Sound of, she did do Sound of Music, some people call Sound of Mucus, the Rodgers and Hammerstein. And also South Pacific was also Rodgers and Hammerstein, Oscar Hammerstein, and Richard Rodgers. Richard Rodgers studied to be a doctor, but he always wanted to be a musician. And I guess he dropped medicine. He dropped the scalpel for the pen and paper and notation paper and became a composer. And his daughter, he had one daughter, she did Once Upon a Mattress. I think Barbara Streisand was in that Broadway play. And then his grandson did, I think, Rent or some, one of those, but it's didn't have the talent. I guess the musical gene pool was diminished by the time it got down to the grandson. That's the way it goes with a lot of famous people. But Mary Martin, and of course her son, those of you who enjoy, I think it was Dallas, and J.R. was Mary Martin's son. And it's kind of a fun. I enjoy doing these things, mining the gold mine of the archives of the of my former association with Western Public Radio and KLWFM, plus as the archivist of the Carson Verzola Archives. And we have over 2,000 recordings and interviews, and so I'm going through all that. And we'll be saluting the greatest mayor of San Francisco, who unfortunately never became governor of California, George Christopher, the man who brought the New York Dodgers, the New York Giants, excuse me, the Dodgers went to L.A., to San Francisco, and there is a connection with the United Nations. There's a common interest between the Giants and the United Nations, and why the United Nations, which started here on the opera stage, War Memorial here in San Francisco, but would not be headquartered here, and they and the San Francisco Giants, or the New York Giants at the time, had a similar issue, which was resolved for the Giants, but not for the United Nations. So we'll get into that little anecdote. We're ending early because I have a family emergency. We'll be back Friday, and these will remain in the archives, and you can download them at your leisure to enjoy. And If you have comments or questions or suggestions or prospective interviewers, because we still do that, and people to interview, we're at pverzola@gmail.com. That's pverzola@gmail.com, and I'm running late, so we're going to end real quick with our usual politics and poker. The clock's off also. Where the heck is it? So, where are we? Shame on me. it's a little slow today. Here we go.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet up.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game in rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to go, what to
do. All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll stay.
Raise your mind.
I'll fall.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyashinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot!
Politics and poker, politics and poker, play for a pot that's mediocre. Politics and poker, rubbing neck and neck. If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck. Politics and poker, politics and poker, makes the average
Well, folks, we're ending early. I've got this family emergency, and, of course, nowadays it wouldn't be smoking. They'd be snorting Coke. So it's Peter Paul Verzola. Thank you for listening.